Well, it was just the other day, I was reading this story about this guy who was on his way home. It's a long day at work, beautiful day, had the windows down, was driving with his music. And as he was driving, following the speed limit, minding his own business, this lady came flying up on him and was riding his tail. And he was like, man, you know, she's a little close, and she's flashing her lights and honking her horn, and she's talking in the air and hands waving every place. You've been there before, right? How many people were the lady? No, I'm just kidding. just kidding. So the truth is this, that, you know, as he's going, he has no idea what she's saying. He knows what she's feeling, though, obviously, by all the gestures and everything that's going on. She's in a hurry. She wants him out of the way. So he's coming down through downtown, and there's this traffic light that's there. And as he's approaching the traffic light, he comes up, he sees it turns yellow, and he sees there's people going to be crossing on the other side. So he does what's smart, and he starts to slow down, and he stops about 5 feet behind the crosswalk, and the lady is irate, because she knows he could have made it through that light, right? And if he made it, she could draft on his rear end there and go through too, right? So she is not happy. She is back there just making hand motions and some international hand motions that we all know what they mean, and, you know, saying things, and he doesn't know what she's saying, but he knows he's saying them to him, and she's not happy. So he just is like, you know, man, I'm just not gonna look in my rearview mirror, and I'm just gonna face forward. It's a beautiful day. Go listen to my music. So he sits there, and all of a sudden, he just, out of the corner of his eye, you know, he's still gonna be glancing back there, because, you know, we're not gonna not look, right? So he looks back there, and he sees a police officer pull up behind this lady. And as he pulls up there, he sees the police officer flip his lights on. He's like, wow, what's going on? So the police officer gets out of the car and he walks up to the lady's window, knocks on the window. She rolls it down. They start having this conversation. And next thing you know, the lady steps out of the car and he turns her around and he cuffs her and he puts her in the police car. And the guy's like, wait a minute, is it against the law to be angry? Well, obviously it is. So he takes her away and he takes her to jail. And he finds out later that this lady, when she goes to the jail, they put her back in a cell. And about 30 minutes, 45 minutes later, they bring her back out. Well, the arresting officer is standing right there. And the arresting officer tells you, he's like, look, he said, I made a mistake. I just got to be honest with you. He said, I arrested you before I checked some things out. And he said, I pulled up on you and I saw you just like making all these gestures and screaming and honking your horn. And he's like, man, this lady is angry. And he said, that's not against the law. He said, but then, he said, this is the problem. He said, I looked at the back of your car on your bumper. And he said, I saw this little chrome Jesus fish on your bumper. And then I saw your What Would Jesus Do bumper sticker on the other side. Then I saw your magnetic cross stuck to your trunk. He said, then I saw the other bumper sticker that said, in case of rapture, this car will be empty. And he said, she must have stolen that car. That is not her car. And nobody in their right mind would lend this lady their car with all those statements on it, because it does not point to who she is. He said, so I just jumped the gun, and I was a little upset, and I arrested you. I didn't even check. He said, I'm sorry. So, you know, I'm sure the lady was a little sheepish going, okay, man, maybe I shouldn't have all these statements on my car, right, if I'm going to act like that. But he let her go. Well, so this is what we're doing. We're in the I Am News series, and the I Am statements of Jesus show the divine identity of Jesus and his purpose. So here's the thing. When you put statements on your car, you better live up to them, right? And Jesus was making these I Am statements. He's like, look, this is who I am. I'm telling you, I'm not only telling you, but I'm showing you. And he's pointing to who his identity in God is, his divinity. He's pointing towards his purpose of what he's doing here on this earth. So before we jump into the I Am this time and what we're going to read through this metaphor that he had, that he spoke to the disciples, I want to give you a little bit of background and tell you the audience he was speaking to, because this points to what he's really saying. So we're coming up on the Last Supper. And Jesus is getting ready to eat the last time with his disciples, these guys that he loves. And before this had happened, he had made some statements. One of the statements he told them is, hey, look, there's a time coming soon where I'm going to be leaving you. And he said, and where I'm going, you can't come. They kind of look at him like, what's going on? And then he said, and one of you is going to betray me. And none of them could believe that. They're like, what is going on here? And Peter leans over to him and he says, man, he's Jesus, who's going to betray you? And he said, the one that I take the morsel of bread and dip it in and give it to, that'll be the one who betrays me. And at that moment, he dips the morsel of bread, he gives it to Judas, and the Bible says that at that moment, Satan entered Judas. And Jesus said to him, whatever you're going to do, go and do it quickly. And Judas left. So now it was Jesus and the 11. And Jesus says this to the 11. He said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Now, we're gonna talk about all of these statements. They're going to come into play as we move through this. But Jesus is making sure that they understand, like, I'm getting ready to leave. Soon I'm going to be betrayed. They're going to come. They're going to arrest me. I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to be nailed to a cross and crucified. I'm going to die. They're going to put me in the grave. And then I'm going to rise on the third day. He said, then I'm going to ascend to heaven. And you won't physically have me around anymore. But here's what I want you to know. I am not going to desert you. I may not physically be with you, but I'm not going to desert you. And you know these guys, he knows right away, the moment he dies on the cross, that they are going to lose all hope. They're going to wonder what's going on. Like, why did this happen? Like, we know who he is. How could this have happened? He's like, look, I'm not going to desert you. So this is kind of a promise, kind of a metaphor that pushes them to understanding that they are going to be connected. So we're going to read in John 15, 1 through 17. If you have your Bibles, we're going to turn there real quick, and we're going to run through this to discover what Jesus is trying to say. And Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you're clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I love this part right there. I mean, look, there's no greater love than someone who lays down his life for his friends. And he calls them his friends. Like, he's telling them, like, soon, I'm going to die on the cross. When I do it, it's out of love. I'm just letting you know I'm still connected with you. I'm doing this because I love you. He says, no longer do I call you servants, for the servants do not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. Man, there's a lot in there, isn't it? But a lot of that repetition is, look, if you abide in me, I'll abide in you. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Connected to me, it's limitless. Stay connected. My love for you will live out through you if you stay connected. Now, he's telling these guys his love for them and how this is not going to end here. That this is going to continue on, and I'm going to still work in you and through you. So this is what Jesus tells him. He says, I am the true vine. Now, why does Jesus use a vine? Why does he say, I am the true vine? You know, do you think Jesus sat one day and said, man, what would be a really cool metaphor that I use for these guys that they'd be just like, this is so cool. We can all go get vine tattoos and we'd be like, look, I'm connected. That's not why. Back in those days, vineyards and wine were a huge commerce, huge business. And he knew that the disciples, any place that they would have gone, would have seen vineyards all around, and they understood the vines and the branches and how they grow and they produce fruit. They would understand how that connectivity was. So he was going, look, you guys understand what this is, right? Man, you see this all around. It produces, it gives life, right? It allows people to live. It brings joy. Not only that, but Jesus' first miracle that was recorded, that's in John 2, was the fact that he turned water into wine. Remember that? He and his mother were at a wedding, and at the wedding, they ran out of wine. So there's either more guests that came or the guests were drinking twice as much as normal. But no matter what it was, that would be kind of a shameful thing for the people who hosted the wedding feast, because they would be looked at and say, well, you didn't buy enough, like you didn't think enough to spend all that money to make sure there's enough wine for all your guests. And Mary came and she said, Jesus, look, they've ran out of wine. And Jesus is like, okay. She said, fill those containers with water. And they did. And when they went to taste it, it was wine. Now, it wasn't any of that kind of wine that you buy in a box, right? Or has a turn-off screw. But it was like the best wine. And they're like, look, they've saved the best for last. I mean, it's pretty amazing. So here's Jesus making sure everybody understands the connectivity to this, right? He's like, look, I want you to make sure that you understand the significance of being connected to the vine, to be connected to me. But here's something else that happened. In this I am statement, this is the only I am statement with a second aspect to it. Every other I am statement is like, I am the good shepherd, period. I am the bread of life, period. Right? This one, he says, I am the true vine and the Father is the vine dresser. So I want you to hear what he's talking about here. He is talking about relationship. This is very relational, what he's saying. He's like, look, you know, the Bible tells us, right, that there is no way to the Father but through the Son, correct? So he's like, look, check this out. You are connected to me, the vine, and you're going to produce fruit through this. But the vine keeper, the vine dresser, is my Father. And he makes sure that the vine is healthy. He's overseeing the garden. He's making sure everything's okay. So by you being connected to me, you're automatically connected to the Father himself too. And this was a big deal. He's saying, look how relational this is. Now, how many people here are gardeners? Do we have any gardeners in here? All right, so there's a few. So I know some gardeners who are just like total fanatics about their garden. Okay? I mean, like, they are pristine, like, they are out there all the time taking care of them, water, 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 cut, 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 prune, prune, prune. Man, you name it. They, like, hours and hours spending time because of the relationship. So what happens when you're a gardener, if you're creating something that produces food, you're either eating that food and it's providing for you, or you're taking that food and you're selling it, which is also providing for you, right? So these gardeners will love this, the vine and the produce, because it brings back to them. And so God does the same thing with us, because whether you know it or not, we were not created to see how much fun we could have on this earth, though it's okay to have fun, but we were created to glorify God in the way that we live. So the fruit that we produce should point back to the vine keeper, right? So he puts the time into the garden, into the vine, so that these branches will grow, produce fruit, and it points back to who God is. So back in the old days, in the Old Testament, the old days, listen to that, like I'm young, right? So back in the old days, back in the Old Testament, Israel was considered God's vine at that time. And God had planted Israel and cared for Israel, that Israel would produce fruit to point back to the glory of God. And here's what happened. In Psalm 80, verse 8, All of Psalm 80 is about God restoring Israel back to where it was because it had fallen away. It says this, you brought a vine out of Egypt, which was Israel. You drove out the nations and you planted it. You cleared the ground for it. It took deep root and it filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. It sent out its branches to the sea and its shoots to the river. Why then have you broken down its walls so that all who pass along the way pluck its fruit? The boar from the forest ravages it, and all that move in the field feed on it. See, at one point, Israel was the vine. And his plan was that Israel would bear fruit and be testimony to how great God was. And it was growing like crazy. It was covering all these lands, and everybody was seeing the glory of God. And then Israel became disobedient, and the vine was broken. Have you ever seen a vine that breaks or a trunk? It doesn't grow right anymore, does it? So my wife and I, about maybe 5 years ago, planted these two apple trees. And they are apple trees. They have to be together so they can pollinate one another so they can grow. And one day, we live out in the country, and we had a deer come in our yard, which happens all the time, but he decided to rub his antlers on this little apple tree, and he broke it. He broke the top of it off, and I'm like, are you kidding me? So my wife's like, it's going to be okay. It'll grow back, you know, da-da-da, and I'm like, okay, you know, we'll watch. So here we are, you know, about 4 years later, and one apple tree is about 8 feet tall and producing apples. The other one is right there. Hasn't grown. Maybe a little bit. But my wife, she's an optimist. She's like finding hope. She's like, oh my gosh, look, there is a flowering bud on the apple tree. I'm like, it's 10 inches high. It's not going to produce anything. That's going to be the most we get out of it probably. It's broken. So we left it for a while just to see if anything happens. And she doesn't know this yet. I mean, she will when she watches this, that I'm going to dig that tree up this year and I'm going to put a healthy one in there. Because we need one that's growing, right? And that's what God did. He's like, look, Israel, what happened? You're not producing. What am I supposed to do? So God takes his son and he says, this is my vine. And from this will be a vine that is never broken. It's not gonna break. It's gonna continually be healthy. It's going to produce fruit, and it's going to bring glory to the Father. So that's what he did. He took Jesus. And so Jesus is now telling them, look, I'm the vine. I'm the true vine. The one of Israel, it broke. We're going to restore them, though. But this is it. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine keeper, the vine dresser. This is this relationship that we all have together. So in this, Jesus calls us to produce and be fruitful. But here's the problem. When we're first connecting, there's no fruit. Anytime you plant a little tree and it starts to grow, you know, if it's 10 inches high, there aren't apples popping out on it right away, right? It's not ready for that. But he says, as you're connecting, you're gonna grow stronger. And as the vines are connected to the vine connects to the branches start getting these nutrients or the sap that comes through it, and it starts to fill it, and it makes the branch healthy. And when the branch is healthy, there'll be fruit that starts coming out of that. And so he's saying, you may not have fruit at the beginning, but you're gonna grow. So when we come to Christ, we have this realization that we're like, man, I understand that Jesus is Lord, and I'm putting my faith in him. I'm repenting of my sins. At that moment, you become this branch, and the Holy Spirit starts to flow through you and in you, and you start to grow. And Jesus challenges you and brings you along to where you start producing fruit. And he's saying that every believer will have fruit. That's how you know them. You will know them by their fruits, right? So you're going to know them by their fruits. And if they're not producing anything, then there may not be anything there. And the vine dresser says, those branches that don't produce, I cut them off and I throw them to let them wither because they're not part of me. And that's a hard thing to hear, isn't it? But he knows what he has to do to allow the other branches that are producing to grow because the other ones are blocking the sunlight. They're trying to take the nutrients. He's like, that's not how it works. He's like, look, you're going to produce. And through this relationship, that you have with Jesus as a believer, there's gonna be productivity. And you're gonna see something coming out that looks like Jesus. That's what the fruit is. It's gonna look like Jesus. And people are gonna know that this is something different. But what happens is when there's no productivity, like he says, there's branches that appear to be connected. It was just like Judas. Judas appeared to be connected to Jesus in a big way because he's one of the disciples, right? Here's Judas, he's a disciple. Of course he's connected. He's been walking around following Jesus physically for hundreds of miles all over the place. But the Bible never really talks about anything that Judas did other than this in Luke. He said that he was in charge of the money purse and he's a thief. He stole money from it on a regular basis, taking money from Jesus, taking money from his disciples. You know, a lot of times there are people who look connected to God. And sometimes it's even us, like we want to pretend that, like, man, I'm going to church. I've been to church like 3 times this month. I'm connected, right? Come on. You know I give, right? You know I tithe 15%. That's 5 over the 10. So that must mean something's going on. Like that's fruit, right? Fruit. Hey, you know, did you see me on the worship team last week? Like I was killing it on the bass. And I was singing, I had my hands up a couple times. And like, you know, I must be producing fruit. You know what I'm saying. I'm an elder in the church. I work on the board. I'm a pastor on staff. You know what? I've seen all those people who are not connected. They're not. Our positions, our tithing doesn't connect us. Those are the things that come out of us. Because I'm connected, I do this for that reason. I don't do it to make it look like I'm doing something or I'm connected or I'm creating fruit. I don't do it because of that. See, here's what happens. Fruit comes out of our relationship with Jesus. And it not only comes out, but it comes out in abundance because the vine dresser does not just leave us at this point and going, okay, man, like you're a 6th grape branch. That's awesome. You'll always be a 6th grape branch. He doesn't say that. He's like, look, if I see you growing, I'm gonna prune you because I want you to produce more. I want you to be bountiful. Now, let me tell you something. Pruning does not feel good. Pruning hurts. Like he uses a pruning knife or some shears or something, and he cuts some things away that don't belong. Like there are things that we all need in our life pruned so that we can grow to become more like Jesus, right? And unfortunately, nobody likes to be pruned. I don't ever hear anybody going, okay, here I am, Jesus. Come on, man, cut me up. I want a lot of fruit coming out of me, man. Do your best. I'm sure there are times that Paul was not like, all right, let's go to prison one more time, man. This is really growing my faith. I can't wait to be beat. I hope I get shipwrecked again. That was the fun one. I almost drowned. But here's the truth. I mean, none of us want to be pruned, but we have to go through these trials. He said, look, I wouldn't put you through these things if I didn't love you. Because I have so much more for you, but you'll never be what you're supposed to be if you don't let me take you through these. Amen. Right? And there's times that he just looks, he's like, you don't even belong. What are you doing on there? I mean, I see you. The Bible tells us that in the end, one day, people are gonna stand before God and we're gonna say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these things in your name? And he's gonna look at us and go, I don't know you. We didn't have a relationship. But Lord, didn't you see what I went on that mission trip? You didn't see me holding that little, I mean, I Facebooked and put on social media, I was holding that little orphan baby. Like, you didn't see that? You don't do that to prove who you are. It doesn't create relationship. You do that because it's just naturally coming out of you. Naturally. So how do we have this relationship with Jesus and stay connected? We have to remain. He says, if you remain in me, I'll remain in you. So how do you remain? I mean, I always used to look at that, and you know, I'd read it and say, it says remain or abide. And I'm like, what does abide mean? Like, that's a word I didn't even understand when I was a little kid. I'm gonna abide in Jesus. How does that work out? But when we remain and we abide in Jesus, it is all based on relationship. You realize that relationship is foundational in the church? Your relationship with Jesus, Jesus's relationship with his Father, our relationship with all of them is foundational. But he said, because by your love, the way you love one another, because I loved you like this, will be the sign to all the world that you're my disciples. You hear that? I mean, that is the sign. They will know who you belong to. So that relationship is important. The next thing in some of these relationships is prayer. Like prayer, we talk to Jesus, right? This is our time to talk to the Creator, our Savior, and to listen to him speak back to us. I always thought I wanted to hear Jesus, God speak audibly, and I'm like, I don't think I would. I think it might be a little scary for me. I mean, the whole Moses thing, you know, oh man, no, don't want to hear that. Just whisper softly in my ear, that'd be better. But the whole prayer thing, that is the way we stay connected. You know, it's like a relationship. If you don't have a relationship with someone that is good, you probably don't talk much. But if you're in a good relationship, you speak to each other, you communicate, don't you? You talk back and forth. I mean, my daughters, they don't talk much, but they do a lot of this, and they're talking a lot, right? I mean, they're sending messages to their friends, they do videos. I mean, it's great, but they're communicating. And that's the way relationships are. We communicate. If you didn't talk to your wife or husband for like a month, you'd have some issues, wouldn't you? Well, maybe some of you are okay with that, I don't know. But I'm just saying, you know, most of us would have some issues in that relationship, right? So prayer, it's a big deal. The next thing is Bible reading. Bible reading is huge. Like, we need to get in there and learn the history of who Jesus is, his promises he's given us, how we work through things, what he's asking us to do, what he's asking us to obey, all those different things. And plus, just knowing where you come from, right? My brother's a big, like, family tree buff, and he did some family tree stuff, and he found out that we were related to George Washington somehow. See the resemblance? Pretty... The proof is in the profile, isn't it? Yeah. So Bible reading is a big thing. Serving, that's another thing, that we serve God, that we go out and we do things because he served us. Like, he washed the disciples' feet before this moment. Like, he washed, all, like a common servant, he washed their feet. And he expects us to go out and to serve people too. The biggest one is this, though, is obedience. Obedience is everything. Like, you can do these three things and not be connected. You can pray, you can serve, you can read the Bible and still not be connected to Jesus. Do you know that? But this is the one that you have to be absolutely connected to Jesus to do, because he asks for our obedience. He asks us to do things beyond these things to show that we love him. Francis Chan is a pastor. I don't know if you've ever heard of him or not, but I love, he does this illustration about obedience with his daughter. And he said, I asked my daughter to clean her room. And he said, and she knows she better clean her room, and she better not come back and say things to me like, hey, dad, check this out. You know, remember when you told me to clean my room the other day? Okay, haven't done it, but I want to let you know something. This is so cool. Like, I memorized what you said. Listen to this. Clean your room. Amazing, right? Thank you. And she said, dad, look, something else happened. Man, I just want you to hear this. This is so cool. Like, you remember you told me to clean my room? Still haven't done that yet, but I learned how to say it in Hebrew. Seriously, like, and I know the root meaning of it. It is so amazing. Still haven't done it though. Hey, dad, I got a group of my friends together, just to let you know I haven't cleaned my room yet though. And I got my friends together and we had this small group discussion and we're like, what would be the effects if I would clean my room? What would that look like? And I just felt like, yeah, felt really good about that session that we had. Still haven't cleaned my room. And Francis says, why in the world would you say, Lord, Lord, and not obey me? Why would you say that? I'm like, you're really not obeying me. So we can do all these things and still not be obeying God. We can actually memorize scripture and repeat it. And it doesn't mean that we're obeying God. We can learn what it means to love in Hebrew, but it doesn't mean that we're doing it. We can be in a small group and we can talk about how we're gonna serve the world and reach everybody and be the branches of Jesus and never do it. And Jesus is like, what good is it to do all these things and not obey? See, here's what the problem is. It's the apple all over again from the Garden of Eden, isn't it? All over again. Adam and Eve, in the garden, perfect place. We're walking with God, speaking to him audibly, hearing him, had the perfect situation. He said, look, you can have it all. You can eat from any tree you want to except that one. And then they were tempted and say, hey, if you ate the fruit from that tree, then man, I'm telling you, you'd be just like him. Okay, takes a bite. Oh, that was good. Gives it to her husband. Oh man, that was good. Y'all ever eaten something that you know later is gonna come back to haunt you, but it was really good at that moment? This is what was happening with them. Like they were having that Mexican they knew at 10 o'clock at night that they knew the next, it wasn't gonna sit well. About 2 in the morning, we're gonna be feeling it, right? They lost it all. They disobeyed. They didn't listen. It was all gone. When you're connected to Jesus and have deep growing relationship with him, this is what it results in. These are the fruits that you should see in your life. Peace in all your circumstances. Strength in hard times, which is not one of the fruits of the Spirit, but I threw that in there. Joy that cannot be taken from you. The Bible says, look, man, when I fill you with joy, you can walk away from joy and not choose joy, but nobody can take it from you. It's yours. Hope through all the trials. Patience in every situation. Gentleness, that humility that's not always about you and that you're gentle with people. Faithfulness, trusting in Jesus in everything. Goodness, which looks like godliness. Kindness that you extend to people around you and are always looking to extend that kindness through opportunities. Man, the Bible tells us it is the kindness of the Lord that leads us to repentance. So we show that kindness that Jesus has showed us. And the last one is love. And this is what Jesus told him. He's like, look, this is everything. It is by your love that people will know whose you are. And that fruit will glorify the Father because of who you are representing and the way that you're living that love out. It is important for you to know. You know, you cannot grow without being connected to Jesus. And Jesus is telling these disciples and us, he's saying, look, I may not physically be here with you, but I haven't deserted you. I haven't deserted you. When I leave, you just remain in me. You live these things out. You love the way I've loved you. You do the things that I've shown you, and I will remain in you. That's all he's saying. It's really that simple. Obey. And that's not easy. It's just a simple statement. So I want you to take a moment just to bow your heads. We're going to be doing communion here. I want to prepare you for that. And as we've been talking about the vine and all these things, it's amazing that we're doing communion on a day like this. And I just want you to prepare your hearts and your mind. And today, like if you are not connected to that vine, man, if it's been that game in your life that you're just going through the motions of church or whatever else, and it's really not producing any fruit in you, then here's what I want to say to you. Man, it's time to connect. It's time to trust God. It's time to put your faith in Christ. It's time to let Jesus start pruning you that you might be the representation of who he is and that you would glorify your Father, which is what you're created for. That is what you're created for. Everything else that you do, that's good, but that comes first. So Father, we want to take this moment just to thank you. Lord, we want to lay ourselves at your feet that you can have your way with us. Lord, we want to connect to you that your Holy Spirit might flow through us and in us, that the fruit of the Spirit would come alive. God, may we represent you well in a way that people around us would see that fruit and be drawn to the Father, and that we would glorify your name. God, if there's anyone in here today who doesn't know you, may they be moved. May they be moved to seek you. Lord, as we take communion, I pray that we remember the sacrifice that you made. And even though you left this earth and weren't physically here anymore, that God, you told us and promised us that you would remain with us if we would just obey and remain with you. So Lord, thank you. As we take communion, God, thank you for this reminder of your deep love for us. your deep sacrifice. And now may we live in a way that shows our love for you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.